studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
I think we're live, although the way the day is going, it's kind of hard to tell.
Maybe we're dead.
Which is kind of interesting because I'm listening to myself on the monitor, and the way we connect to Blog Talk right now is showing that the host connected, but I'm hearing us go over the radio live, so, okay, well, if it's working, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes it works and it says it's not.
Well, yeah, like it's work, I don't care. Just work.
Anyway.
So hopefully, if anybody's listening to us right at the moment, although nobody's in the chat room at the moment, then send us a note and say that we are there. In the meantime, I'm going to try and get connected, so the way we're supposed to be connected. But hi, I'm Robin, and that's Cliff, and you're listening to Oregon Update, I hope.
It's interesting because it used to, in the land of terrestrial radio, we always used to ask people to call in and see how far away people were, see if people were calling in from far away, seeing if we were getting out. But with this, they could call in from anywhere in the world. It's just whether or not we can understand them or not. So it's interesting. We can get calls from anywhere in the world, and we'd love to hear from you. Let us know if you're listening.
Exactly, and that's me trying to... God, you tried to make a call too many times during a short period of time. Please try again in 5 minutes. Give me a break. Regular telephone used to make,
Oh, yeah, little beepy tones.
Yeah, little beepy tones. Like, give me a break.
Which is interesting.
But at least according to the monitor, it shows that we're going out, but Blog Talk is saying, host is disconnected. My God.
The monitor said we're working, so it sounds good. Anyway, we're going. I'm sure it is. All's well. I was going to say it ends well, but let's hope it isn't ending yet.
It's hard to say. I don't know. I get so tired of this, but what are you going to do? Anyways, welcome to the program. Hopefully today will work better than the way things have started out the first half hour of trying to get things to work.
We got lots of things to talk this week.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and summarize. I'm going to double-check here to make sure that we are getting out and do some things.
The president's been out and about and talking about his immigration program or his non-immigration program or whatever it is. We also got a thing about Greece has had their election Sunday, and we can talk about that. Egypt has had their election just a couple of days ago. We can talk about that. Those are both very important things that happened in the world because Greece is what – well, I was going to say the way Greece goes is the way the European Union goes, but Greece is siding with the European Union at the moment. Greece and Egypt both have got just days to put a new government together and make things work. And China is in the news because China has just run a manned space capsule that they've just set up, which is kind of an interesting thing. So, the Greek thing, of course, is affecting Asia and the whole work. So, and then we're having the G20 conference in Mexico, right next door to us here. So that's an interesting thing we can talk about, all coming up in the next hour and a half right here on KMBR, KRBN. KMBR.
It's a Monday. I can't even remember this. the station that you're calling on. Besides that, my mouse died three times already, my wireless mouse, and had to quickly, you know, with 2 minutes remaining before the program, switch mice. And
well, I wasn't even sure I was going to be on with you this morning, because we've had a power outage all morning. We've got a transformer, one of these on the telephone pole, it's on light pole, transformer. Twice this week has gone out on us. They tell me that what happens is that these little squirrels get up there and get across things and short it out. And twice they've had big, loud explosions, and the power has gone out. And twice we just barely got back on in time. So once day it would. Huh?
And twice somebody's going, yay, dinner!
No, they're pretty well cooked, way overcooked.
How do you like your squirrels?
I don't, not that way anyway. I like to see them. They're fun to watch out there in the trees, though.
Yeah. Well, speaking of squirrels and other four-legged animals, why don't we try this, if I can get the right mouse to work. God. See, I'm using the mouse that's normally for the laptop, and the laptop, I have to use the touchpad because the other mouse died. But who cares?
Gee, I'll send you one.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
DancingDogCookies.com. Check them out. If nothing else, they look cool. Speaking of look, are you still there, Cliff?
I was just going to say, I'm busy eating a cookie. No, I'm not.
Yeah, don't do that to me.
I'll have to get your address and I'll send you a mouse. They're a grand total of $2, so I can afford that. Since you had trouble with my...
Anyway, the other thing is going on. Immigration's back in the news again, and as well as President Obama, hopefully the newly retired president, wanting to change policies as he got frustrated again with Congress failing to act. And he announced this week that he's changing the immigration policy, that people under 30 don't have to fear for being deported. He says under the act that
if you meet all the criteria, man,
right?
Because you have
I'm getting
more time, and oh my God, it's impossible to meet them.
Yeah, well, I was getting to that part. He says where people younger than 30 who came to the United States before the age of 16 poses no security threat, nor successful students or served in the military, would get a 2-year deferral from deportation. And sometimes I think I use Dragon to dictate, and sometimes I think it changes on me after it writes it down.
It changes.
Anyways, and of course, Mexican President Felipe Calderon privately with Obama before the G20 summit in Los Capos to thank Obama for what he called unprecedented move in deportation. He says, we believe this is very just for your valor and courage that you've made in implementing this action. I'm sure in many, many ways, families in the United States will thank you as well. Obama said that this is not amnesty. It's not immunity. This is not a path to citizenship. It's not a permanent fix. It is a temporary stopgap measure. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napoliano commented that also allows those meeting the requirements to apply for work permits. And to qualify, you must be living in the United States now and be able to prove that you have been living in the United States continuously for the last 5 years. President Obama, of course, being frustrated with Congress, said from time and time again to Congress that, send me the DREAM Act, put it on my desk, and I'll sign it. Stephen King, representing Stephen King, says that he will sue the president to stop this action.
Has anybody successfully ever sued the government? Anybody in the government?
Stephen King did once. I don't have before me what he was successful at. But yes, he did sue the government before one, yes.
Oh. Well, good for him. I'll back him then. I'd rather believe him than the president. See, that's the thing that worries me to death, because here's this 800,000 young people in the country that are going to get their vote, their decision is going to be, I hope he's not lying to them. I hope he's not. They're going to get their, I can't think of the word, but they're going to try. Yeah, they're going to get their hopes up. And then if he's lying to these people, it's, oh God, I hope something can be done to him, because that's bad. I mean, that's bad news.
Well, I mean, like they say, this is only for a 2-year thing, but the way that, or at least according to the news, of course, now he's up in the polls in his for the Hispanic vote. But they're, I mean, just like the Obamacare, where people thought it was free health care for everybody, you know, they're reading it what they want to read into it without reading it into the facts. And that's what's scary.
I still believe he's very possibly totally lying to them. I don't think he can even do this without the approval of Congress somewhere along the line. You know, this is a three-party system. This is a three-way system. This is not a one-way system, and it's become a one-way system every time he wants to do anything he wants to do. And people are believing him and accepting the fact that he can do this sort of thing. And I don't, you know, there's a lot of these quote-unquote laws that I think are not going to be in effect when actually it comes down to the real deciding of things, because we didn't vote on them. We didn't, the Congress didn't have a chance to vote on them. Or if they did, they've kept it from me anyway. There's something wrong here, and I'm afraid that he's going to just take in a whole lot of people because they're believing what he had to say. They're going to get their hopes up about what they can do and what they can't do, and then they're going to have a whole thing dashed because they're going to find out it didn't really really happen. He didn't do anything. He did it on his own, and he couldn't.
Well, let me read this. Now, this is from the transcripts of his speech. He says, "Now, I've said in my speech on the economy yesterday, it makes no sense to expel talented youth who, for all intents and purposes, are Americans. They've been raised as Americans, understand themselves to be part of this country. To expel these young people who want to staff our labs or start new businesses or defend our country simply because of the actions of their parents or because of the inactions of politicians. In the absence of any immigration action from Congress to fix our broken immigration system, what we tried to do is to focus our immigration enforcement resources in the right places. We prioritized border security, putting more boots on the southern border than any time in our history." Actually, I think that's a lie.
No, I don't think that is, but I don't think he did it.
Well, he's telling they just changed the policies on the borders yesterday as well, or this week as well, to do more of a catch and release instead of catch and hold.
Well, that's true, but we still got more boots on the border, so to speak, than we ever have before in any administration. But it's not necessarily been because of him, because of Obama. He's just made a step to do it in the last 3 or 4 weeks or so, and he's taking it, as he does always, he's taking credit for things that he's not done. But they've been done. They're affecting the entire country, and so he's going to take credit for them. We have been lied to by this man so many times in so many ways that how can you believe a word that he says?
Well, I agree. And you, well, we'll see if this will work. This is during his announcement speech when a reporter interrupted him.
It is the right thing to do. Excuse me, sir. It's not time for questions, sir. Not while I'm speaking. and answer your question, sir. And the next time I prefer you let me finish my statements before you ask that question. If this is the right thing to do for the American people. I didn't ask for an argument. I'm answering your question.
Okay. Basically, it was, if I get to the right mouse again, Neil.
He has real trouble working with people. If things don't go exactly his way, he has a trouble with that. And that showed very obviously in this particular instance.
Well, I agree in a way that, you know, I can't pronounce the guy's name, Neil Numero, N-U-N-R-O. And anyways, I agree with the fact that he interrupted his speech. I can understand Obama being upset with the way Obama handled it. Secondly, from what I understand, too, because I haven't had the opportunity to watch the whole speech, but apparently he didn't stay after the speech to answer questions. He just walked off.
Yeah. Well, he didn't. You know, if someone hollers and screams and yells and interrupts your speech, you continue on if you don't want to answer the question. You don't make a big thing of it. And I think he handled that very poorly. I saw the speech. I wasn't aware of what I was watching when I first saw it. I just caught it in the middle, and it just looked really bad about him being heckled in the middle of his speech. But he did. He acknowledged it, and I don't think he should have done that. But then he did it, and see, he's losing his cool, I think, and he's losing it at just the wrong point. And he's going to lose his – wait until he gets put under the scrutiny of Romney. I mean, if Romney hollers and screams and yells, Obama isn't going to know how to handle that.
Well, I think that he knows that he's losing the battle in the – polls, and I mean, even his wife came out and was trying to convince people, you know, do you want to continue what we've built over the last 3 years? You want to just throw all that away? But what kind of worries me, though, here's Romney's comment this change.
I believe the status of young people who come here through no fault of their own is an important matter to be considered, and it should be solved on a long-term basis so they know what their future would be in this country. I think the action that the president took today makes it more difficult to reach that long-term solution, because an executive order is, of course, just a short-term matter. It can be reversed by subsequent presidents.
Which is kind of a non-committal way of saying that he's not sure if he's going to reverse it or not.
Well, I'm worried about what the – one thing – here's the thing. It says only 10% of Latinos said that they agreed with what – or made them more enthusiastic. 50% of the people – they had a poll on the 12th to the 16th of June, just right after he made this speech, I guess. Anyway, 10% of the Latinos that were polled said they were more enthusiastic. 50% of them were less enthusiastic about what he had to say. So it's not making as much difference as he thinks he is, and it's not making – fortunately, they're not believing it any more than I am, I guess.
Well, true, and believing it, by the way, 646-721-9887, as we should probably give out the phone numbers and hope everything works. You know, it says we're – give us a call, even though it says on the air, but we're host is disconnected.
Well,
but according to the monitor, we're still getting out. So give us a call, 646-721-9887. I'll try it the other way and see if that works again. But, I think that what's going on is that he's just trying to throw things out there to get him in place, knowing that we have to deal with the issues and whether or not he gets elected again or not.
I believe that we're not going to see him reelected because everybody's giving Romney the benefit of the doubt at this particular point. Romney has, even though he has not had the experience in that office or even been close to that office,
you press at least four digits of your...
What is this? Man, what is this?
PIN number. Radio. Goodbye.
Isn't it? Bear with us, folks.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please.
Okay, well, that app still is okay. Hopefully, we're here.
There you are.
According to the monitor, we're still on the air. So. But I don't see anybody checking us out.
Still
with me, Cliff?
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead and continue your thought. I'm going to try this in a different browser and see if I can get it going.
I don't know what my thought was. But anyway, the point is we've got more people, according to the latest poll, and I will have to admit this was a poll that was done by Romney. It wasn't it's still an independent poll. But according to him, there are more people that are less enthusiastic or negative, more people think that it doesn't make any difference what he just said. 10% of the people, Latinos that were polled, actually believed this latest outbreak of his, and whether it's going to—it's not enough, I don't think, to make any difference. It's not enough to give him the kind of response that he needs to be elected. He was looking forward, I think, to getting a huge, big bunch of people involved in this, and that isn't—you know—he had a lot of Latino people voting for him last time. I don't think it's going to happen this time. I think it's going to be totally different. So I don't think it's going to make any difference for him to be there. It's going to be a moot point, this whole thing that he's in the first place. I don't think he can do it because it's not legal.
Okay, hang on just a moment, Cliff. Hang on just a moment.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Well, fight me. You've made too many attempts. Okay, well, at least we're still recording something. Because we're not even getting any internet traffic in out of the chat room. So that's why I'm kind of wondering if, because showing host is connected. So I don't know. If we are, great. If we're not, oh well. What else is new? Because Blog Talk sucks. That's right. I said it. Blog Talk Radio sucks.
Well,
there.
You're being recorded. Everyone.
I know. I don't care. But anyways, I'll try again in a few minutes. Because at least I'm going out, so.
At least we are going out?
Still coming here.
Okay.
Whether anybody knows that we're actually live, I don't know, but at least we're going out.
Anyway, speaking of Obama, that's whole thing is, I think it's a moot point. If it's something that he can do, I'm afraid it's going to happen for a short period of time, and then it's going to go away because when he's no longer president, and I don't think he will be, what's going to happen to a lot of these things that he has decreed or done by decree or whatever you want to call it, and. I just afraid a lot of people are going to be taken in about this whole thing. One of the people at the G20, he's talking to those people at the G20 that's going on right now. And what do they think of him? What do they believe? Do they believe he can do anything? I think that he's got them because he is still president of the United States. He's still representing the entire United States. So I think that a lot of these people in Europe and all of this, the G20, whatever the G20, whatever countries it instills, they believe in him. And I think our whoever takes over the government, our government, after he's through, will help to make it true. I mean, they're not going to leave a lot of, you know, if he makes a lot of, depending on the promises that he makes, they're not going to leave different whole countries up in the air.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And by the way, I just, in the background, just went ahead and called the program, and we are listed as being a live broadcast, despite what it says on the screen, and we do have a guest that just got into the chat room, and welcome. If you're just joining us, we've been having technical difficulties all during the beginning and even before the broadcast, so bear with us. I'm coming to the point that even my mouse died.
going to assume at this point that we are there, however. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call if you want to give us a call. And if you have an idea and have an opinion, what do you think of the idea that how much do you believe that Obama says? I mean, he's going out and making, and you're never sure for sure if they're actually real speeches or if they're actually just he's trying to campaign. At this point, you never know when they're a campaign speech and when they're a regular speech, but he's out there making a lot of speeches. So give me a call and tell me what you think of what he's saying. And if you believe, if anybody believes anything he says when he's out there talking to people, how many people believe he's actually serious or that he can actually do some of the things he's doing, because he's taking our government in his own hands. He's not paying any attention to whether it's legitimate or not legitimate. He makes promises either way. It doesn't make any difference. And I'm afraid that he can't actually make these promises, and he's going to get caught in it, or we're going to get caught in the middle of it one of these times soon. Let's face it, folks, November, that isn't that far away. November is a very short time from now, and we've got to make up our decision and make up our mind and make that decision by November. I've already made up my mind that I won't go for the current regime, regardless of what it is. But, you know, that's the major country in the world, and two others. Greece is also had an election, and they've had theirs already. We're all just going to have ours shortly. But and Egypt has had their election already. And there's... You know, there's three governments that are up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen. And it's three governments.
But to throw out there, just kind of make your earlier point, is that not just focusing on the fact of what's going on this last week, but look at the big picture. If nothing else that's come out of these last 3 years is Obama comes out and they – and he does these executive orders, and they're arguing whether or not that it's even constitutional what he's doing, whether he's exceeding his powers from Article 2 of the Constitution. And here's the thing, that we're still treating it like it's law. If it's unconstitutional, how can it become law?
Well, I think we're treating it like it's law until we decide it's not. And I'm afraid that's what I'm worried about. What happens in November when we go back and look at all of this, when we decide it's all a bunch of malarkey and it's all not law, then where do we make the break? I mean, there's a point there where he did two or three things, major rules, that had the support of the Congress behind him, because for a while there, for what, a couple of years, he had the dominance in both the House and the Senate, and then all of a sudden he didn't have the House anymore, and then all of a sudden at times he doesn't have the Senate, although he has predominantly the running of the mill there. But we're going to have to decide where we take the break. You know, what are we going to consider as law and what are we consider as not law? And it's going to make a problem for and I assume, I'm assuming in this case it's going to be Romney that's going to be in there, but he's going to have even more of a hassle trying to figure out whether what to make into law and what to make not into law, and how what to rescind that Obama has done. And I'm afraid that some things are going to happen that are going to make the rescinding of certain laws that have happened in the last 3 years or 2 years that are going to make some people very unhappy because they're going to be believing in them. And that's partly, by the way, why our economy is so bad, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to end up taking place in November. Even in November, we're not going to be sure. But we're not going to know until then. So nobody's going to nobody big business is going to go out and hire people. No one's going to try to debase their business with when you don't know what the rules are. You don't know. You can't play the game when you don't know what the rules are. And we don't know what the rules are at this point.
That's why I was saying is that we should take what we've learned over the last 3 years, because in the past, yeah, we've been unhappy with Bush and previous presidents, but they've kind of haven't really been per se in our face as much as this one has been, you know, making all these changes and changes to policies, executive orders, challenging Congress or thwarting Congress, basically. And I lost my train of thought here, but
the people
learning.
The people who are in power.
Go ahead.
Bush or Clinton or whomever at least did it by the rules. They if they made a law, they went and didn't try to push a law if it didn't pass the Congress. They put it forward to the Congress and let it go. And then if they did or they didn't, if they didn't, they fine. If they did, fine. But they didn't try to second guess or go around what the predominance said. So I this is the only time they think that we've been sitting here and we're set here with the idea that there's a law set out in front of us and we don't know for sure if it's significant or not, because we don't know if it's for real. I mean, he can say that he did this and did that and did the other, but he can say it and doesn't mean anything. We already know that 90% of what he said doesn't mean anything. Maybe all of what he says doesn't mean anything. So you know, very little gets past the House at this particular point. And so consequently, we don't. You got to pay attention real close, and you have to look it up, because we're not being anything said publicly about what passes and what doesn't pass the House or the Senate. And we don't know where anything is. I don't think much of anything that's been said in the last 2 years has actually passed the Senate or the House. They just sat there. And we're, you know, he says things, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I want to do this, I want to do that. And none of it, I don't think, has been done. So we're going to be in terrible trouble. We're going to be in worse than Egypt and Greece. They've got a whole new beginning, but we haven't even begun to begin ours.
Well, and Obama had a fine exact quote here. He right out and said that the Congress and the Constitution gets in his way of what he wants to do. And to me, that says that the Constitution is actually doing what it was designed to do, to prevent somebody in power to, well, in a sense, so the U.S. doesn't become a monarchy, although it seems like it. However, according to Article 2, Section 1, Clause 8, he took the following oath. It says, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States, and I'll do my best of my ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, not try to tear it down. It also says in Article 2 that he does not have, the only powers he's basically got is to appoint people when Congress is in recess. He doesn't have these powers as a president, according to Article 2, to do everything he's been trying to do.
That's true, that he doesn't have that. And that's one of the reasons that I put the entire Constitution on our website, KRBNradio.com. You can see the entire Constitution there, is to show you what he is doing and what he isn't doing. And believe me, the things that he's quoting that he can do with the Constitution, you can't translate the Constitution like you do the Bible, because you got to accept what it says, and it doesn't contradict itself as much as the Bible does. So there is a point where we just got to read the Constitution all the way through and then accept what it says, rather than try to translate the Constitution. That's not the way it works.
Well, and what's going to be interesting, too, we got the Obamacare coming up. I think it's this week that the Supreme Court's going to be announcing their results. We got the embassy going on in Arizona that's coming up through the courts that's supposed to be ruled on. So we got a lot of things that that I think this is also one of the reasons why Obama's timing to announce this before the election, too, to kind of get this stuff. I think what you're going to see is that you're going to see a lot of stuff being passed and introduced before November, and we're going to be spending a lot of time playing cleanup.
Well, that's fine, except that I don't want to have to spend the next 4 years waiting for the Supreme Court to judge everything that happens, to rule on everything that takes place, because at this rate, everything that he's putting forth, everything that he says he wants to do, is going to be judged by the Supreme Court before it's a law. When it's gone through with the Supreme Court and they've made their judgment, then yes, I would probably accept it as a law. Then we can go. I'm sure that there's going to be certain people in either parts of Congress that are going to then dispute that as fact. So we're just spinning our wheels is what we're doing.
Well, it would be nice if we didn't have to waste all our wheels, so to speak. We're in a poor economy. Things are not getting any better, and we're getting sidetracked by all these different issues. And like Obamacare and all of its provisions within it, we're having to take the time and stop and use our resources to decipher, to fight. You know, we just can't blindly go. Nancy Pelosi says you got to pass the bill to know what's in it. Well, you wouldn't buy a house that way, but if some of the provisions in Obamacare, like, for example, if they did overturn the 1099 purchases over $600, what that has to do with the Affordable Health Care Act, who knows, but it was one of the provisions in it that had to go to court and had to be removed. You know, again,
what takes place there is he didn't think it out. He didn't have somebody in there who actually thought out the whole thing. That was a sort of a thrown in thing that sounded fun at the moment, but they didn't think enough to find out how it was going to affect a lot of people. And it's affecting a lot of people. And there's going to be hundreds of things in that bill that are going to affect people badly. And consequently, they're going to get upset when it affects them that way. And they're going to yell and scream and holler and make a change. And so you're never going to know when the end of that bill is going to be there. You're never going to know what it ends up being like.
Exactly. I want to read a comment real quick that's in the chat room. He says, I'm a retired military veteran, and I'm watching the decline of our nation. Our current president is an imposter and chosen for position because of his color. I'm not a racist, but I am a patriot, and class warfare is progressively getting worse. I have to agree 100% with that.
I'll agree with that myself. I think he is there because of his color. He was put in there and elected for because of his color. But nobody could believe that he was going to be that profoundly wrong in almost everything that he does. So that's what the problem is. We selected him again with my thought. You know, how bad can he be? Well, a lot worse than I thought.
Well, the same thing is just like with Eric Holder, to make his point. With Fast and Furious, you know, already comments are coming up. Well, you wouldn't be questioning Eric Holder if he was white. Yes,
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the racist excuse, I mean, might have applied 20 years ago, but I'd like to think that we've gotten beyond that.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people think we haven't, but I'm quite sure we have. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's proven by the fact that he did get elected into that position. He was actually elected to that position. He wasn't appointed by someone or anything else to have that position. So consequently, I think we're beyond that position as far as color is concerned. But he isn't the right person, not because of his color, but because of intelligence. He is not a person of enough intelligence or enough forethought to be running the free world.
Totally agree with that. I was just also leaving further comment saying he's not wrong. This is all a plan. He has done everything he said he would do once he was elected. I'll agree, disagree. I'll go back, say, for example, the stimulus package. I believe his intent was good, but one thing that he said, and I wish I had the soundbite for this, that they didn't follow up on, and I knew this would happen when they announced, you know, giving away huge amounts of money to states, just how states are, especially Oregon, is that he said that they would be watching where the money went to and it would not be spent frivolously. Well, I forget what the dollar amounts were, but you know, a lot of money was spent to track the migration of snails.
Okay, you keep bringing that up, and I totally disagree with you entirely. You keep bringing up this minuscule little amounts of money that are spent here and there that are not going to accomplish or make much difference one way or another. He has spent huge amounts of money trying to create jobs, and he has not done so. That is, nothing has been done with that. He has spent huge amounts of money trying to build up businesses and to work on getting the green businesses going, because I do agree with the fact if we could get all these green businesses going, but we're not going to do it by just spending and throwing dollars at it. You've got to figure out how to get the oil companies to go along with it and let them do it, because they're what our problem is. We've got to stop worrying about the oil companies, but we can't do that way he's going to about doing it. Government jobs, spending money making government jobs is not the way to bring up unemployment or to bring employment.
I'm going to disagree with you here, because, yes, the example I gave is a minuscule amount of money when you look at the big picture. But the point was that he put the money out there. States spent it to keep teachers. They spent a whole bunch of money off of just projects that wouldn't create jobs. They went against what the intent was of the money to begin with. And as far as green jobs go, one testimony, I wish I had the audio for this too, they were testifying on what exactly constitutes a green job. Working at 7-Eleven constitutes a green job. And as far as the oil companies go, the oil companies want to go out and drill. In fact, North Dakota, for example, they're just now voting on to get rid of their property because they have a surplus thanks to three oil discoveries, one of the biggest ones being the Bakken. And basically they're saying now they got a surplus of money because their economy is doing so good. North Dakota has the lowest unemployment in the nation.
But that's one state, and it was not done by the president. It was done by the oil companies. So consequently,
it's done by the oil companies, but the president doesn't like fracking, and that's the thing that they're worried about now. In fact, the EPA has passed a regulation that within 2 years, oil companies can no longer flare the wells, which is burning off the H2S gas, and they're going to have to come up with different methods of doing it. And that's going to put a huge cost on the oil companies themselves.
I think that they'll find a way of doing it, and I don't think it's going to be a huge cost. And if they can't find a way of doing it, the oil companies have more money than we do. They have more money than the federal government does. They have more money than God. Consequently, they can do anything they want to do. That's the way they're going to take their place and do whatever they want to do. They're going to do what the fracking if they want to frack. I mean, what the frack? But anyway, they're going to continue doing it. And I saw that thing about how 2% or 4% of this other stuff that comes out because of natural gas and all this sort of thing, that's not even considered into it. The fact is the president has spent, $1.6 billion trying to make jobs. You can't do that. You can't spend enough money to make jobs. And making government jobs just doesn't work. And also, taxing is not enough to do it. You've got to stop spending your money and frivolously, because you can tax until there'll be a point there you can't tax anymore. We're not going to be there, and that's not what's going to make this country work. You've got to take away the right rules and regulations to the point that you know, or at least solidify the rules and regulations so that you know what they are. But you can't change the rules and regulations every month and do whatever you want to. People are not going to accept that. And so consequently, you can't build businesses and jobs with that thought. So you've got to set down something that's concrete. You've got to change your way of thinking to make it a concrete thing. And people have an idea of what can happen 2 years, 3 years, 4 years out. You can't change things every week and expect the world to accept it.
Well, I totally agree in that part. The best thing the government can do is do nothing. Just get out of the way. Let the economy kind of settle down, so to speak, and let us get back on track here. But, you know, as you pointed out, when we don't know what the rules are going to be tomorrow, because it seems like they just keep changing and changing and changing, yeah, because companies are going to be sitting on their money. They're not going to be hiring people. They're still waiting on the results of Obamacare, which is going to cost a lot of money. And we're kind of in this holding pattern of uncertainty.
You know, and that's another thing too. I've heard people say that Obama did the right thing and allowed the car companies to go their way and to do their thing, and he still did it wrong, because the one car company that came out stronger and busier than any of the rest of them didn't take any money from him. That was Ford. He did the wrong thing. And so I haven't seen anything that he's done that has literally come out right. The car companies that came through this, they came through it despite his rulings, and consequently they're going okay. But they didn't do it his way. No, I don't. So what has he done of major importance that has accomplished anything? Not that I know of.
Okay, I'm going to invite one of our people in chat room, Green Beasley, to give us a call. He's saying that President Obama is the best president we've ever had, and it's his opinion. He's going to stick to it, and that's fine. I mean, anybody can have an opinion. What I'd like you to do is give us a call, 646-721-9887, or anybody for that matter, and share your opinion. Like, say, pro or con, you know, give us your 2 cents, 646-721-9887. And if we're overlooking something, you know, let us know.
Maybe you can change my mind. It's not easy, but maybe you can change my mind. But about Obama, I don't know how you're going to do it. You're going to have to do a lot of talking in order to do that.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, it kind of gets like the 2000s. I really had high hopes for Obama, not because of his skin color, but because I was tired of the Bush regime and the fact that it became, you know, the presidency became a family tradition, for one thing. And I wanted things to be different. And, you know, the hope and change, you know, I guess the big boy game was the best way of describing it. And Green Beasley says Obama saved this country from total commodity, I guess, from the Bush administration. I don't know if I agree with that or not. I think that in some respects that he did, but in other respects, he's turning it more into more of a socialist type of a thing where everything's more for the government.
I don't think he saved the country from anything that Bush did. Bush didn't do things because he wanted to. Bush was forced into doing things because of 9/11 and things like that. That was not something that he decided upon, that he decided would happen and would accomplish something. There, you know, we would have gone pretty much the way of Clinton, the way Clinton had gone at that particular point. We'd been doing okay. But when you've got to spend your money and spend the huge amounts of money that we had to spend on, well, I don't know that we had to spend them on what we spent them on, but we were there and we had to just spend it on something. And consequently, that was a disaster that happened that he didn't have any control over, I don't think. And so consequently, to blame him for any of that was sort of ridiculous, in my opinion. Consequently, the thing is, we pretty much were through it. It was pretty much, I don't think there was any way we would have been the same had there been somebody in there who knew what they were doing. This our 2008 recession, or whatever you want to call it, I don't think would have been nearly as bad with a person who listened to Congress, listened to the government, and listened to what was being told to him. I don't think he listened to anyone. I don't know of anybody who he listened to that. He just went on and did his own thing, and his own thing was wrong.
Well, I will give Obama credit for at least trying, but
trying what? What did he try?
Well, in other words, you know, for throwing out some ideas of trying different things, like the stimulus package, for example. You know, the thought was good, you know, to put money in the economy to get it going. Where the money went to and how it was, that decision on that was poor, in my opinion.
It wasn't right in the first place. Putting money, throwing money at the different people is not the way to do it. If you want to throw money at people, throw it at the individual people. Give it to them in the terms of just plain grants. But he didn't go about. He still started. He put rules on what he gave them, and then you didn't know what you were going to get and what you weren't going to get. And then he gave money just to people as tax repeals, whatever you want to call it, and right. You didn't know what you were going to get and what you weren't going to get. He did it one time, did it twice, but he didn't do it again. Why not? I mean, the economy got worse, and he didn't do it again. He didn't do the same things twice. He didn't make any steady changes. Nothing was there that you could depend on.
Well, yeah, I can't argue that point here. We got an argument going on in the chat room, so I apologize for the delay. And the one of the questions that came up, too, and I kind of agree with this thing between the Republican and Democratic parties, and I mean, I don't believe that the ideals behind each still hold true, and the question came up about what about a third party? Well, unfortunately, because we have the Electoral College, when Ross Perot was running, a lot of people backed him, but he got zero electoral votes, and unfortunately, twice in our history, the Electoral College elected the president, not the popular vote. So for a third party to run is kind of, in a sense, a dilution of the votes because it just won't go, you know, there's no chance.
We've got lots of parties that are running that are not big enough to accomplish anything, and so consequently you don't need to worry about them. The two-party system is fine, but we've got to have a two-party system. When power was taken with Obama originally in 2008, we didn't have a two-party system. We had a one-party system. The ruling party ran everything, and the rest of the people were up a creek. When we get in a vote again this time, I'm sure things are going to change. We're going to have a change, and I'm hoping it doesn't go all the other way, because that's just as bad. It doesn't make any difference who it is. It's always just as bad. We've got to have three parties, a two-party system with a three house system, the three people involved in making a decision of everything that happens. We've got to have the...
Well, that gets back to what I was saying, is that we need the checks and balances back in.
Yeah,
right now. Yeah, I mean, learn like the issue over the growth certificate. It's too late now, but we can learn from our experiences over the last 3 years. The way Congress has been acting, and we found out this year these last 3 years too, that Congress doesn't do their job. They don't, you know, we wouldn't be arguing Obamacare if they would have read the bill. That's what we sent them to do, not to just go up there and become millionaires.
Can you feel like what Congress feels? I mean, they've got to feel like they don't have a say, because whatever they say, the president's going to say one thing, and then Congress is going to say another thing, and then the House is going to say something else. And when they're never going to get anywhere, because the House is not going to let them do it. And so unless the Congress agrees with the president, you know, the Supreme Court, the Supremes. Anyway,
yeah, the Supremes.
but unless they agree that the president and them agree, they're not going to accomplish anything. So they're kind of, everybody's stalled. We don't have an actual checks and balances. We just got balances, checks or something.
Well, and see, the way that it was designed, you know, why we have the House and Senate, the Democrat and Republicans, is when a bill is introduced, they're supposed to, one, defend the introduction of it, and two, they're supposed to argue over it, debate over it, and then come to a consensus if they decide to pass it. Not just throw out these arbitrary deadlines and say that, you know, you've got 2 weeks to read a 2,700-page bill, and then just go ahead and pass it without reading it. That's not the way our system was intended.
I believe that we should do have... They put in somebody introduced a bill not too long ago that they had to spend so much time debating over a bill, and that they had to actually come to an agreement, not just table it or set it aside or whatever they want to do to it. You've got to fight for it to the end and get to come up with an end to it. And that, well, there are certain things we've got to just do to fine-tune how our government works, I think.
I agree. And again, I'd like to encourage people in chat room, give us a call. We'll put you all on at the same time. You get a little debate going, which is fun. 646-721-9887. And
anybody that has an opinion on the subject, 646-721-9887, because there's got to be somebody else out there with an opinion other than ours, and I'd love to hear from you.
Well, like I say, we got a pretty good debate going on in the chat room right now. And Green Beasley, you know, we haven't changed his mind about Barack Obama yet. And like I say, like anybody, give us a call and share your opinion. But but the big question is, do you want the next 4 years to go as the previous? I'm scared about the next 4 years. And I think that what scares me even more is the executive orders that are coming out of the office and how he feels about the Constitution. We have a Supreme Court justice that was overseas that said that we should change our Constitution because the Constitution is outdated. And like I said, we've had plenty of examples this year of where the Constitution has gotten in the way, and that's what it was designed to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think I agree with you in more ways than one, is that the Constitution is getting in the way, but thank God it's getting in the way. Something needs to get in the way. We've got to have a rule of thumb to live by, and you can't have the president changing it every time he doesn't go his way. There are other countries that have found out that doesn't work, and they're worried about their time right now, too, because, you know, Greece, for example, just got a law. They agreed to stay within the European Union, at least at the moment. But how they're going to do it, they're going to be required an austerity program that just is unreal, that they've got to live with. And we're going to have that coming up soon, too, because we're sitting here arguing about little things and this and that and the other, and we're ignoring the fact that our budget, our money, is going insane. We've got a president that has not passed an actual budget, has not gotten a budget passed Congress ever, period. He just hasn't done it. and he doesn't know how or something because it doesn't happen. Yet he's constantly spending a little bit at a time, and again, because we don't know what's going to happen, he spends a little bit at a time, and we're stuck sticking up a crick. We don't know what to do, and the government is standing in the way of people doing anything. We've still got unemployment at 8.2%. That's way too high, and it's probably not as high as it actually is. I think it's probably right around 11% myself, because we've got an awful lot of people who've given up on trying to get a job, have given up on even looking for a job, and have dropped out of the whole program. We can't count those. We don't know how many there are, and I think there's a huge number of them that are sitting out there, and just, you know, some of them that are stealing for a living, that are going out and they've gone to live on the land, whatever. There are huge numbers of people who are really just lost.
Well, maybe in a way we're looking at this all wrong. Maybe we should follow Obama's example. Like, for what I mean by that is that we have a I just had the wording a moment ago. Numerous occasions that just happened, and meaning that it is the centennial of his golf game, the 100th golf game that he's played since he's been in office. And so maybe we should follow his example and just say, you know, economy sucks, everything's going to hell in a handbasket, let's just go play around the golf. What do you think? You can buy this one.
Well, I tell you, an awful lot of real important decisions are made on the golf course. I've heard that for years and years and years, not just in government, but in business and everything. A huge amount of decisions, important decisions, have been made on the golf course. So maybe that's not too bad a way to go at all, but not for the way you're thinking, I think.
Yeah. Well, somebody added it up, and it, about the time that's spent, you know, not, it would be a total of about 4 months on the golf course. And not arguing the fact that, you know, yeah, he's a president and he is allowed to have a weekend off from time to time, because it is kind of a 24/7 job. But it's just kind of the whole point that somebody's keeping track of how many times you went and played golf. And personally,
well,
I
don't. Well, sure. No, there's more to it than that. More to it than that. We ought to keep track on who he's playing golf with, because maybe it's important that he goes and plays the golf at those times.
Well, I'm more concerned about who he's hanging out with and what's going on behind the scenes. You know, like the promises or the comment that he made to the Russian ambassador about after he's elected. You know, I'm concerned. I don't think that that his primary focus, and we assume this when we elect somebody into office, that their primary focus for being in office is for the well-being of the U.S. And I think maybe that, like Michelle was commenting about, she was embarrassed by the U.S. until he got into office, and now it's just, you know, vacation heaven.
Yeah, we may have elected the person. We may have elected the group of people that we elected was wrong. In other words, by electing Obama, we elected a whole group of people, and we probably didn't know what they were thinking and what they weren't thinking. And it's not Mr. Obama's fault necessarily. He, I don't think, thought about much of anything for the first two or three years and he was in office. I don't think he realized what I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's doing things wrong for himself. He's being coerced into it by a group of people that are running the place and they aren't him. That's what's happening right now. He's saying one thing and can't get it across through they're sort of people he hired and sort of people he didn't hire. He didn't get to that position or that office by himself. And a lot of people are trying to get back their just desserts, trying to make back what they can from getting him into president, into office. And I think they're working very hard at it, and they're working very hard even against his wishes.
Well, and, you know, all the talk of racism and everything, question I'll put out there, I'm trying to look it up real quick here. Eric Holder, for example, who is black, did Obama put him in office because of his skin color or because of his qualifications?
Well, see, we don't have any way of knowing that. Who knows? He had to have had some qualifications. Wasn't he there even before? He was some office before Obama put him in this one. I don't know anything about Holder. I don't know anything about whether he's good or bad or indifferent. I don't really care. He's made a mistake, and he can be brought down one way or another. I haven't followed the Holder thing to see what he's been doing or what he hasn't been doing. I know he's a part of this Fast and Furious thing, which I think is being played way out of position. I mean, once it happened and once he was caught, it should have been put to rest. And although I know it was a horrible thing, maybe we just didn't go far enough with it. But what can you do? It's done. It's absolutely
done. Well, what
he
can do is, and what they're trying to find out is who authorized it. That's the information that Holder is holding back. What's in the name? Is holding back is who authorized Fast and Furious.
Okay, my question is, who cares? Just make sure it stops and doesn't get done again.
Who cares?
Yeah.
People have died because of Fast and Furious.
It's done. It's done. There's nothing you can do about it now. So it's simply done. As long as you make sure it doesn't happen again, you know, somebody's got to know who made it happen the first time, and if they do, whether they give us the information or not, as long as it doesn't happen again. I agree, it's terrible. It's a horrible thing. There was how many people died? One, I mean, that I know of. And
Nobody should die. But the whole point is, yes, I agree with you. It shouldn't happen again, but why is Holder holding out on saying who authorized the program to go do it in the first place? That's why he's facing a contempt of Congress, is because he's refusing to say who authorized it. And he's the Attorney General. He should know who authorized an international operat.
Well, a lot of things should be authorized by certain people and could be carried through and worked out and worked on. And by the time we find out that they're bad, it is too late. And that doesn't mean that it could be him that authorized it and he doesn't want to care. He should be fired for it. Okay, that's okay. We can kick him out of the office. But the point is, finding out who to lay blame on really doesn't accomplish anything because it's too late. It's already been done. And unfortunately, once it's done, you can't take it back. So consequently, we should just start firing people that could have done it, beginning with him.
How do we know this doesn't go all the way up to the president?
We should fire people until we find out it did. Until
so what are you going to do? Just fire everybody? This is what Congress is trying to find out, is who was responsible for ordering this operation to happen. And this is why Eric Holder is being facing contempt of Congress, because he's refusing to give over the documents that will show who authorized the operation in the first place. That's a person that should be fired, possibly jailed. But the thing is why is he holding back on this information?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We should fire people right up to the point that we find out the information and then fire the last one. If that's the president, then fine, that's the president. I mean, we can get rid of the president. That's not nearly as hard as you seem to think it is, but it can be done. And the thing is, why are we letting it go on? I mean, if he doesn't answer the questions, then I think we should just simply fire him. And you know, if he's holding back information, is he physically holding it back? Is he holding it in his computer that we can't get a hold of? Then what do you think the FBI or the CIA or all these people are for? We can get that information, period.
Well, that's part of what Congress is arguing, Act, is that, yes, they've turned over 7,000 pages of records to the House investigators, but he's still holding back on a lot of the other documents that they are requesting.
Give it to him. If he doesn't, I mean, you can't hold back. I mean, you can't just do that. I mean, this is the government. The government, if they want to find out that information, all they have to do is go get it.
Well, you think it'd be that easy, but, you know, like, I don't know why he's not giving it over. I mean, some of it is saying because it's classified as top secret. Others, he's just either refusing or whatever. But the whole point is he's holding out, and it's been going on for over a year, and it's, you know, Congress is threatening contempt of Congress charges on it, which now he's finally at least said that he's willing to turn over some more documents. But the whole point is why should it be that big of a deal? Who is he protecting, I guess, is the big question.
Well, again, it doesn't make any difference who he's protecting. We can see, I think this whole Congress thing is a bunch of malarkey. The Congress can't make up their own mind what they want to do, let alone be concise and finding a way of doing it. There is a way of doing it. If it's top secret, crypto college or whatever you want to call it, that's fine, because, you know, those people in Congress have got to be, if anybody's acceptable as far as rules are concerned, we've got to find them the ones. I don't know. I just don't believe this Congress thing, congressional hearings. I have very seldom I've watched those many, many times, and I thought we've got our congressmen asking stupid questions, and I have not followed this thing. I don't know anything about it as far as this is concerned. I'm just assuming that they're asking just as stupid questions at this position as they always have.
Like, have you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
There is no Communist Party.
No, but that was one thing that they were focusing on a long time ago. Actually,
I take that back. There is. It's the Chinese Communist Party now.
It's a different name.
Yeah.
Flycatch here says in the chat room, says Congress has been neutered under this administration, and it's all about the race card. I have to agree with that, because every time somebody says anything, like even with like the comments brought up this week about Eric Holder, you wouldn't have said that if he was white. Cool. I just find that very hard to believe that we're so focused on somebody's skin color that they can get a free pass. Like, for example, to go along with the argument here, the new Black Panther Party that was doing intimidation, voter intimidation, got a free pass from Eric Holder, and I don't know if I can find the quote or not real quick here, because he was black. Eric Holder's black. New Panther Party is black. Anybody else, you know, throw the race card out there. If they would have been white, would Eric Holder have gone out after the new Black Panther Party? Would charges have been filed? Or like
See,
in this
I,
case, they were told. Go ahead.
I don't have the slightest idea. I don't look into that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about what you're talking about. So
I'll try and find the information here. But the new Black Panther Party was out there in, if memory serves me, they were in like military uniforms, intimidating people going into the voting area, and they had clubs with them and whatever. And although that would sound like more of a local issue, instead of being charged with voter intimidation, in fact, I believe, if memory serves me right, they were actually arrested, but was told by Eric Holder not to be prosecuted.
I don't know. I mean, You can't tell how what was his idea and what it wasn't. You can't say how a person thinks, whether it's white or black or indifferent. How he thinks is not something you can figure out.
No, but the point is that in the other case, you know, voter intimidation is illegal, especially, you know, the way that these guys were doing it, and they were told not to prosecute by Eric Holder's office. Now, if the Black Panther Party had been white, which would be kind of weird, would the same thing have happened? It's all about skin color. You know, in fact, what on that matter, what if there was a new White Panther Party?
I don't know.
Would they the same three path?
You're asking questions on speculation. I don't speculate. That doesn't accomplish a thing. You're not asking a legitimate question. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, well, my point is, and I'm kind of making it exaggerated in a sense, as we're bringing up the argument about, you know, Eric Holder, for example, you know, somebody says, well, you wouldn't have made this argument against him or be picking on him if you'd been white. You know, you're picking on him because you're black, so it must be you're racist. Anything that comes up, President Obama, you don't like it, you must be racist. Anything that anybody else does that's of skin color, you don't like it, you must be racist.
Well, all I'll have to say is that since Obama has taken office, he has set back the black race 40 years.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with that.
I mean, that's just sad, but that happens to be the case. Maybe it's okay. I don't mind that. You know, I would have said I would have a tendency to say maybe he was elected too early. But no, we needed to do it now. Needed to get it done now. But now we need to get him out and go back to whatever was we were doing before and continue on. But we've got to get away from this. This race thing, whatever has created the race problem to make it be as big a thing as it is, has got to change. And that's the only thing I can think of that would change it and make it back to normal. So we're back to the point that we've got to change it. We've got to have an election. It's coming very shortly. It's not very long before we have an election, and we've got to get it over with. And so we've got to move on, remove him from office, because he is the big obstacle. Whether he's doing it because he's black, or whether he's doing it just because he's stubborn, or whether he's doing it because he's stupid, I don't know. But of all three problems, all is the same. All have the same answer: get a new president, someone new in there.
Well, and I totally agree with that. In fact, since Obama's been in office for over 3.5 years, you can look beyond skin color, look at the history, look at his same thing with Romney. Look at his history, look at his record, and use that to decide. You don't have to, you know, pay attention to somebody's skin color. Go by the facts. Go by what they've done. And then, of course, you know, if you still think Obama is the best one, then by all means, vote for him if you feel comfortable in doing that.
You can't do that
with Romney.
Obama hasn't got a record. He hasn't got anything to go back and look at. He didn't do anything before he became president, so consequently, he hasn't anything to look back at. Romney has years and years of accomplishments to look at that you can decide why to put him in there. But Obama has nothing. Nothing is done. I mean, what did he do before he was that? Before he was president, he wasn't even a congressman long enough to have a real evaluation.
No, but he's got 3 years of history, 3.5 years of history doing the job.
No, he hasn't.
You can look at that record.
No, he hasn't.
He's been
president 3.5 years. That's right, and he hasn't done the job. He doesn't. Half of it he's gotten accomplished, and half of it he hasn't. He hasn't accomplished anything yet. Even the one thing that you think that he's accomplished, which is the health care thing, is being adjudicated by somebody else.
Six 646-721-9887. We got 10 minutes remaining in the program. Give us a call. Join in here. Help me. No. No, seriously, give us a call, 646-721-9887.
I mean, now, whether he's an opposite.
Well, yeah, he's got, okay, well, he's got, using your argument, you know, 3.5 years of doing nothing. Maybe he hasn't accomplished anything. He's made he's done a lot. I disagree with a lot of it, but, you know, he does have a history. And the big question is that based on the last 3.5 years, do you want another 4 years of the last 3.5 years? The thing
is, he's done a lot. We don't even know if it was legal.
Well, that's the thing too. I mean, he's come out and like I say, thwarted Congress. But he's also, like I said, what came out of this last 3 years is not just Obama, but also the failings of our Congress and the House, and why the whole thing needs to be, you know, people which are starting to come together. Why we have the Tea Party and everything. They are starting to look at this and going, which problem here? You know, the old boy network. Now somebody's going to say I'm sexist for saying that. The old boy network has kind of become their own little group, and we're just, you know, they're supposed to be our employees, and they become the high ranking monarchies, and we're subservient to them. You know, the whole reason why they're there, I think, has got lost. That's probably one of the reasons why, you know, like Bloomberg and stuff, just kind of a side example, feels it with everything going on in New York, why it's more important to talk about limiting the size of a soft drink you can buy to 16 ounces. Is what does that have to do with a bad economy? What does that have to do with creating jobs except for selling more soda?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we can totally ignore Bloomberg, because he'll sit there and tell you you can only have a 32-ounce soda pop, but you can have half an ounce of pot. I mean, let's get real. The man is not to be realistically listened to. He shouldn't even be allowed to be in office. He shouldn't even be, well, I'm going to stop there. But, I mean, to quote him as anything is totally bad for your position.
Well, I'm just using him as an example of being a government official. You know, like I said, the original intent when Congress and the House was formed, when the offices was formed, and why the Constitution was to keep government in check. And people used to go into these offices, because I believe I don't know when they started paying, but it used to be a non-paid position. They'd go in there for the honor of the duty, not to become a life career, and especially to become millionaires. And like you pointed out, Cliff, many times on previous programs, we should, if anything, get the 28th Amendment in there, because it is in the Constitution right now that they cannot be arrested.
Yeah, we've got to do something about that 28th Amendment. There's because that's the logical move. Give the 28th Amendment again. Congress shall make no law that applies to the citizens of the United States that does not equally apply to the senators and representatives. And Congress shall make no law that applies to senators and representatives that does not equally apply to the citizens of the United States. So anything that they get, we get. Anything that we get, they get. That's only fair. And that's going to either mean we get a whole lot more things or they get a whole lot less, one or the other.
That's why I got a kick out of it. I think it was Rand Paul when he went through the TSA inspections and made a new friend. you know, was complaining bloody murder over it, and it's like, you know, but it's okay for citizens to go ahead and get frisked, you know, but because the public officials are immune to that type of treatment, they, well, I guess it's like they say, well, it's okay for you, but not okay for me.
But no, see, when Rand Paul went through there, he did not let them know he was a public official.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And so he got treated the way that anybody else did, and he was pretty furious about the way he was treated.
Which I think was great. I think that was great.
Yeah.
I personally go along with that. Rand Paul, I think, is someone we really should take a close look at in 4 years from now, because, or maybe 8 years from now, I don't know which, because I think he'll try to run for something, and I hope hope he does. I could vote for Rand Paul tomorrow. I could vote for Ron Paul tomorrow, for that matter. I wish I could. I wish he would get into that position. When is the I'm looking here. I'm going to look it up. When is the big thing here? Republican Party presidential nominating convention is August 27th to the 30th. We look at very closely at that because that's going to be interesting to see what comes out of the nominating convention. The Republican and the Democratic Party, theirs is September 4 through the 6th, their nominating convention. So both of those should be looked at very carefully as to what's going on and what's going to take place after that. And then, of course, November 6th. That's the day, nationwide, all 50 states. I'd like to see all 50 states vote the way we do, too. Is there anything wrong yet that we have found out with voting by mail, the way Oregon does?
Just voter fraud. Is that when you go in to get your driver's license renewed, they'll ask you this, at this time, would you like to register to vote? And unfortunately, people are being checked without or signed up to vote without being checked to see if they're citizens or not, which is the other thing, by the way, that I think it's Florida is fighting now. And either Florida or Texas, I can't remember which is saying that we are going to verify that the people that are voting are actually can legally vote, which the White House is threatening to sue, saying that, they shouldn't have to show ID. Well, you got to show ID to go rent a movie. Why can't you show ID to go prove that you got the right to vote?
I'm sorry, but I had to show my birth certificate in order to get a driver's license. That's kind of right, well, like ID.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you do that's now in Oregon. That was a recent change, but yeah, no, you're exactly right. But they're requiring it or not requiring it to vote. It's like, come on, that's our important, most important thing that, and our important right.
You say they ask if you want to vote when you get your driver's license. Well, if you have to show your ID to get your driver's license, if you have to show your birth certificate to get your driver's license, then that's kind of the same thing, I think.
Well, yeah, but like in Oregon, that the rule the rule requiring proof of citizenship, like the birth certificate, was a recent change because Oregon was one of the holdouts. And the only reason why they changed is because the Oregon driver's license was not going to be used as ID in order to get on a plane. So they had to kind of step up to the plate and do it. But otherwise, Oregon was a holdout on making that requirement. And so people that registered or got their driver's license before that requirement were also allowed to register to vote.
Okay. Then we've got a couple thousand of them, people that possibly are not legally voters. We haven't got enough people in Oregon to make that bad. Oregon doesn't have that many people, period. So anyway, we're finally, interestingly enough, at the end of this thing. It's surprisingly how fast time goes when you're having such fun.
Exactly. And we'll do it again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Again, thank you, everybody that's in the chat room. It's a great little arguments going on in there, a nice debate. Next time, give us a call, 646-721-9887. And as always, you can send us an email, talk@krbn.com. Again, we definitely appreciate you tuning in. Check us out. We'll be back next week.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the Like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.